Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hey, Trojan fans, welcome to a very special edition of the Peristyle Podcast. We are joined by USC linebacker coach, recruiting coordinator, and associate head coach covering defense, Coach Peter Sermon. You can follow him on Twitter at CoachSermonUSC. That's at CoachSermonUSC. Coach, thanks very much for joining us today on the Peristyle Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
No problem. And I just want to check in first, before we get to this recruiting stuff. You got a year under your belt at USC. Just wanted to see how it's going, the transition from Washington, still being in the Pac-12, and how it's been down here at USC.
The transition's been great. You know, the players have been really good to work with, and they've been very open with what we're doing. And right now they're just starting the winter conditioning phase, and the kids are doing great. A lot of guys coming up to the office, and things are going really well.
Is that kind of a hard time? People don't know, but you can't coach them really until spring football starts. So that kind of this off, you can meet with them and stuff, but you can't really get out there on the field with them when they're out there throwing the football around and stuff. Is that kind of a difficult time where you're kind of limited as far as time goes with the players?
Well, you're limited. You know, I'm lucky enough. I get here pretty early in the morning, so when they're out there on the field, 6, 7 o'clock, I had to get to go out there and watch them go through drills and winter conditioning with Coach Lewis. You know, sometimes you want to coach them, but I think also sometimes there needs to be a little bit of room for them to develop and grow. And so much of it is football is making sure you have the right mentality and make sure you have the right energy and enthusiasm. And I don't think you can achieve that by coaching 365 days a year. You know, I think there has to be the football season, there's spring ball, there's time to get better physically, which is right where they're at right now in winter condition, and then you see that growth and development going into the football aspect.
And then for people that don't know, Peter Sermon was an all Pac-10 linebacker at Oregon, started for 4 years there for the Ducks, had a 7-year NFL career with the Tennessee Titans, then had stopped coaching at Central Washington, Oregon, Tennessee, and then, of course, the last stop at Washington before USC. And part of the titles you had, you're coaching linebackers, but also recruiting coordinator, both at Washington and at USC. And we had a question about that for as far as recruiting coordinator goes. Like, what is your responsibilities there? From the Peristyle, from USCFootball.com, SAC55 wanted to know, as a recruiting coordinator, what are your responsibilities?
Really, it's to handle all facets of recruitment, from materials of what we send to the athletes, to the kids, how we communicate with the folks, the identification of players that we're going to recruit, how we make our impact tapes on how we make our decisions based on what we're looking for in kids, trying to keep the staff, you know, exactly what we're looking for, you know, in helping identify those kind of players. And then from there, it's where coaches go, which games they go to during the evaluation time, schedules for contact period, who we're going to see, when we're going to see them off campus, setting up official visits, what we're going to do on the official visits. So really, it's really from when we identify them to when we sign them, it's kind of a full-service project.
Sounds like a lot of extra responsibilities there. Is that something you enjoy doing, being the recruiting coordinator?
I love it, Ryan. You know, it's one of those things where not many situations do you get to choose your players. And I think that's what makes college football so unique and such an advantage at a place like SC. It's you really get to make a huge impact on who you bring in. Ultimately, you get final say on who you bring in, and I think it's such a powerful thing to be able to to know the kids, know what you're trying to build, go out and identify them, create relationships, and then ultimately help them develop is very rewarding.
And for you guys, certainly a week ago was a very rewarding day. Scout had you guys as the number one recruiting class in the country. Do you guys pay attention to the kind of rankings at all, or the players with stars? Does that matter at all for you guys?
You know, early in the process, Ryan, the stars don't mean anything. But I made the comment on signing day. I know that recruiting rankings don't win or lose any games that day. But if we're keeping score, we're trying to win. So we won last Wednesday.
For sure. And the numbers game changed for you, too. I know it was only really one recruiting cycle where you had to, you know, recruit fewer players. You ended up bringing in 19, I guess you could say 20 with the blue shirt kicker, Matt Bormeister. But what was the game? How did the game change when on the board there was 10 extra spots, essentially? You could bring in 25 guys for the class of 2015 as opposed to the class of 2014.
Well, it changed immensely on addressing certain positions. They're really all positions, what we did this class. It keeps you in the game longer for more players, you know, with just some of the flexibility of us, you know, planning this class out, I think, really methodically and having the execution come out, you know, because when you're dealing with 24 new players, I mean, there's a lot of flexibility in terms of what direction and how you allocate positional needs, your mid-years, your junior college. So there was a lot of moving parts that makes it a little more interesting and a little more time-intensive.
As far as the defense goes, the class that you guys brought in, it looked like tremendous balance. And I was looking at it, and you had, you know, a couple safeties, a couple quarterbacks. There was four linebackers. I think four or five, you know, defensive linemen, you know, three guys over 300 pounds in the middle of the defensive line. I mean, just that this recruiting class alone looks like it could be a Pac-12 caliber starting defense, just the defensive guys you brought in.
Yeah, we're really excited about, you know, the physical tools. And we're very disciplined with what we were looking for. I think we have a real good vision of what we want to be and what we want to become. And I think the staff did a great job of identifying those players and then ultimately going out and getting the ones that we wanted.
One of the things that's impressed me the most the last 2 years is you look at, you know, a year ago, signing day, there was, you know, four players you were after. You end up getting all four. Three of them were five-star guys that had, you know, major contributions, Dory Jackson, Juju Smith, Damian Mama. You know, you're not sure on signing day if you're going to get those guys. Same thing this year. I think it was 5 for 5, and then you bring in an extra guy even on signing day. And for the sanctions, what people don't realize, I think, is you not only want it, you're limited numbers-wise, but you almost have to hit that number exactly. And the fact that you guys were able to close on everybody you wanted on the last two signing days, I don't remember, you know, even the Pete Carroll days being able to do things like that before. I mean, was that kind of like, do you have a plan in place? And then is there kind of like backup plans in case someone doesn't come through on signing day? And you know, I guess it just kind of explain that process.
Well, we always have, they're not really backup plans. They're, you know, just if things don't go exactly how you anticipate, but on our board, we didn't really have any guys that we didn't love. You know, so a backup plan to me is a guy you don't really want to take, but you kind of have to fall into it. We didn't feel there was anybody out there in that category. You know, I think we've closed well. You know, I know last year, even with the Dory and Juju and Damian, the staff that was at Washington that coach brought down, we had really great relationships with those guys. And then I think, again, you saw a very, very strong close this year. You know, we're in the people business and building relationships, and I think we felt we could close well with those guys because I think we really knew the families well. We knew what to expect, and getting them was obviously a great relief, but at the same time, it wasn't completely unexpected either.
The one other topic I wanted to bring up before we got some questions from the Peristyle for you, if that's okay. The whole blue shirting, advanced scholarship kind of phenomena. So, you know, I guess it's new. I've seen other schools use it. I know Tennessee's used it in the past, and a way to kind of bring in guys. If people don't know, you know, early enrollees you can count backwards. Blue shirts or advanced scholarships you can count forwards. They can play right away. USC was a couple guys coming in, but aren't able to announce because they didn't sign letters of intent or financial aid agreements. But what kind of player that essentially is recruited? I mean, they're well known. They're players that can go to other major Division I schools and choose to go to USC to blue shirt. Like, what kind of player does that, knowing that, you know, there's a little bit of a stigma attached to it that you're not a quote unquote regular scholarship player?
Well, I think that's going to be, that stigma will only come outside the building, right? It's the players that are choosing to do this. They have such a strong desire to be part of SC. And guys that we've identified that can really help us. And it's I think we have a great advantage being just in a large metropolitan area that these kids, yeah, you can technically say for all intents of the recruitment process, they were never recruited because of a couple of the criteria that make you fall in that category. But those players are on campus a lot. They know our players. They've been around. So it's not a complete unknown for them. It's just a couple of the formalities that require that to be an advanced scholarship situation.
All right. Makes sense. Well, we have some questions from the fans on the Peristyle, if that's okay.
Let her rip.
Okay. 9 Fight On 93. And I actually asked this kind of the question to Steve Sarkisian at the recruiting press conference. But how does having big body linebackers help against zone blocking? And what are the pros and cons of size and power in the middle versus those schemes compared to the smaller, quicker guys USC's had at linebacker over the past few years? Because obviously you're bringing in a much bigger linebacker class this time as far as size, length and strength and things like that.
Yeah, I think a couple things, of having size. We really like playing the two-gap, the 3-4 spacing versus a lot of the one-back runs or quarterback runs. And the big bodies allow us to play, what I say, play both sides of blocks, to be able to take when a guard climbs up or when a tackle climbs up, for us to be able to play behind our hands and play off both sides of him. And, what we're trying to defend is those downhill vertical cuts. We're trying to get those ball carriers to bounce, not give them clean, 4-3 defense. Traditionally you have some open gaps, and sometimes you get some more vertical downhill runs, and we're trying to make the game a little more horizontal than vertical. And to do that, you need bigger bodies, not only the point of attack, but guys that have the ability to get off a block and still tackle the guy with the ball. You're seeing bigger body guys, longer levered players have a better opportunity of taking on a block, having the length to be able to get off that block and keep their eyes on their target, which is going to be the ball carrier, and then ultimately get them on the ground. It's more challenging for guys that don't have that physical stature to take on blocks, see the ball carrier, get off, and get them on the ground. You see sometimes the smaller guys have to jump around some blocks to avoid them, and that's when you start opening up some vertical creases, and that's what we're trying to avoid.
Speaking of those bigger guys, Rick Raff wanted to know, what are your plans for Cameron Smith?
Cam's going to start off inside for us. I'm going to get him going at Mike linebacker in the spring, which is going to be a guy that has to handle a lot of the communication on the field, which I think Cam is well suited for. I like his physical nature playing inside. I had a chance to watch him live this last year. I think he plays behind his hands. He's very instinctual. Now it's just a matter of getting him up to speed and getting him comfortable to a point where I can assess what his, kind of where he's at and what he can do to help contribute this year.
And certainly it should help that he's going to be in spring football too, right?
The mid-year experience is just huge for these guys. It's really unbelievable that, when they come into fall camp, they don't feel like rookies any longer.
And then speaking of the middle, Benny's girl wanted to know, who fills in the leadership void with Hayes Pillard's departure, especially with all the young players on the squad?
I think the whole room is going to have to take care of it. Hayes was a very unique player in terms of his maturity and the command that he had in the room. Anthony Sorrow has been an unbelievable player. Great leader for us. You go out and watch the workouts. He's the guy that the players have a ton of respect for. Sue is continuing to develop into a player that can impact others. So I think we'll be fine as a room. And some of these young guys, I don't assess leadership with age. I think a lot of the times leadership is thought of on who's the oldest guy, who has the most experience. I think leaders can come in a lot of different age groups. Juju did a great job asserting himself and ended up developing into a leader as a true freshman. So I'm not too concerned about the age of leadership in our room. I know we'll get guys that can fill it.
SAC 55 wanted to know, for each of the linebacker signees you brought in, when did you think that they were going to be Trojans, or when did you know they were going to be Trojans?
Well, that's a good question. When Cam, our elite junior day, last January, February, I thought we had a very, very good shot at getting Cam. I know he had had a lot of desire to be a Trojan, and it just took them a while to go through the process to come to that realization. Osa Messina, man, really, once we got the job at SC and reached out to Osa, we had already developed a really good relationship with him. And then coming out of the summer, we had the opportunity to spend some time with him in the summer, and I thought we had a great chance of getting him. But again, he was a guy that was going to go a little bit longer in the process. But after the summer, I thought we had a more than a fighting shot with him. John Houston, just you have to really fight the sometimes the thoughts of, hey, he's a local kid, he's going to be SC.
Yeah.
So, we attacked him like, he was living in the, state of Florida and doing everything we could to make sure he knew how we felt about him. But at the same time, he's a very quiet, really humble young man. And sometimes those are the most challenging to recruit because you don't have a lot of feedback. He's not a guy that's all over Twitter. So those have to be truly meaningful relationships. And I didn't think, I didn't feel very, very comfortable until we got, in December and January when the home visits started occurring. And you go in and you sit with John, his father, and Yvette, and Justin, and Jason, and the brothers, and you really start getting that family feel that I thought we had a great opportunity that John was going to join us. And then, Porter, I thought we were going to get all along, from his first visit here. I believe it was, in April. I thought April or March, when he came with his dad and his uncle Joel, who's also his coach, I thought we had a great connection early on. And then, not until, Tuesday before signing day did I finally get the answer. But I thought we had a great relationship with him the whole time.
You mentioned Twitter. How big is Twitter and social media for you as a recruiting coordinator and recruiting? You have to be on that all the time, finding out what these guys are doing?
Yeah, I don't use it, Ryan, as much to see what they're doing, but as a form of communication with them. It's part of recruiting is continuing to identify the market, where are those guys going to be? How can you reach them? And what we're doing right now recruiting wise, we're not sending out as much mail as, really every other school in America is. We're changing philosophy and creating infographics and sending them via social media. When you go into these homes and you see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of unopened envelopes, you start having to, you can't do things the way they've been done and expect different results. So we know those guys are on Twitter, social media, so we're continuing to have to adapt to reach them, but also communicate with them daily.
All right. We had a few questions on the team, too. One about Lamar Dawson. Where is he in his rehabilitation, and what position do you think he's going to be playing? That's from SC Ion.
Lamar still continues to progress. I don't think that knee bounced back quite as fast as he thought it would. He did get some great practice reps for us during that bowl prep, which was invaluable. It was like an additional spring for him. So, I'm excited to see where he's going to be at. I think he's a guy that can scratched, you know, a lot of different itches. You know, he's a very, very smart young man. When he's got really good football knowledge. We're going to start him out, you know, playing inside Mike and Will, and then just kind of let him show us where he's at health-wise and then continue to increase his workload.
And speaking of health, Manny B, 133, when Jabari Ruffin gets healthy, do you think he's going to move over to the line group to get a look at rush end, or do you think he's going to stay at outside linebacker?
I envision him staying with us, you know, at linebacker. You know, the rushes are going to be with the linebacker group a little bit more, you know, in the spring and in the fall. So we'll have the rush, the Mike and the Will and the Sam together in the same room a little more often moving forward. But, you know, Jabari's a very unique athlete. You know, he's got that size, but he's also extremely, extremely athletic. That, you know, we have no issues with him playing that Sam linebacker position. But he also has enough tools and has shown in the past that he can do a great job of playing rush. So I think he's the guy that we'll see where he's, how he's feeling, and, you know, probably have some good conversations about, you know, where we think he can best help us, and then include him on what his desires are and how he feels he can help us as well.
And one of the guys you brought in last year, the question is, how is Olajuwon Buda Tucker progressing, and which linebacker position do you anticipate him going to play?
Buda's doing well. You know, he was did a good job for us on service team last year, which, you know, I think was good for him to get acclimated to just the college setting, to develop physically. You know, he's been good in the weight room. I think he's moving better when I get a chance to go watch him out with Coach Lewis. So I'm excited, you know, kind of where he's at, and I think his frame of mind is the right way of he understands the challenge of playing college at a big-time program. You know, it's not – you don't just come in and show up in the morning and go out there and play great. It's a way of life. It's a mindset, and it's a whole pattern of studying, preparing, and then executing. You know, I think he's going to play – he'll play inside backer for us. You know, I think he's going to play the Mike Will positions. He could pop outside, I think, and play some rush. He's got nice length, and he's got some good natural strength when he strikes blocks.
We get this question a lot, so it'd be good if you could shed some light on it from Yan Man. What does Quentin Powell need to do to show the coaches that he can earn more playing time?
You know, Quentin's a good player for us. You know, he just has to show more consistency. You know, he has to be a guy that just continues to develop that side of his game. You know, I think it was a huge honor for him to win the Special Teams Player of the Year. Was extremely productive for us in special teams, and that, by no stretch of the imagination, you know, that I think in my opinion that's something that's overlooked. You know, he was a great team player, moved around a lot of different positions, and continues to play his butt off on teams. You know, but he's just got to continue to be consistent. You know, we'd like to see him put on a little more weight. You know, I think he's almost 210 right now. So he's put a lot of effort and gained some weight, and then I think we'll have a good spring.
Yeah, Dan Weber just did a story with Becky Tremblay. I believe I said her name right, but they showed the different menus that these players have. That some there's weight gainer menus, there's weight loss menus, there's maintain menus. I think there's a different one for walk-ons, but he was certainly in that kind of weight gainer category. But it's really interesting how what the kind of science that goes in behind each player and what their menu has to be considering what they want to do to their body.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, everybody is unique, and he's a real lean cut, high metabolism, you know, body. And it's, you know, for some of those body types, it's just a real challenge to put on weight when you're going out and exercising and burning the calories that these guys burn. So, he'll do a great job, and he'll have a good spring, and we're excited about what he's going to do next year.
For Sua Cravens' question, I'm sure you always get these. Going into the season, how do you think Sua Cravens would be used differently this year? That's from Pablo F.
You know, I think we're going to continue to develop Sua where he's at. You know, I think from that position, he had, you know, was very, very impactful in the run game, had a lot of impact, you know, sacking the quarterback. We put him in some very stressful pass situations, and he just continues to make plays. So I think that's a position that he'll continue to play at. I think he can have a huge impact on our success. And, you know, in some of those other situations, in true nickel situations, you saw him later in the season go inside and play some inside linebacker and nickel. He went in and played our will linebacker position, and that's something that he's got to continue to develop at. But, you know, he's a guy you want on the field every down.
We got a couple more if you have a few minutes, if that's okay. I don't want to keep you from all your duties, and you got to get ready for spring football. Fiesta Hobbit, that's an interesting name. Are you a bigger proponent of physical practice with live tackling to simulate game action, or less physical with more teaching time, or maybe a combination of both?
I think there's a combination of both. I think there's always the appropriate time with what your practice emphasis is. What you're emphasizing in the meeting room and how you're emphasizing what you do in the meeting room to what you do on the practice field. I think there has to be a continual emphasis if you want to see results. The kids and players will answer the bell if you're consistent with what you're asking them to do. So I think when you're talking about teaching tempo, live tempo, it's all based upon what the emphasis is, because you can't emphasize everything. You have to be mindful of that and understand, like, okay, what I emphasize, I'm going to get results. So what am I going to spend time with in terms of getting those results? So I think there's a good blend. And then what time of year? Is it late in the year? Is it early in the year? Is it spring football? So I think there's a time and place for both of those.
All right. Tarek wants to know, will we see a more attacking USC defense in the fall?
Yeah, I think we will. You know, we've had some real good conversations with the defensive staff, and you know, I think that's something that, you know, as we continue to develop a mindset and feeling comfortable with the guys that are going to be going after the quarterback and guys that are going to be covering, you know, I think you'll see a more aggressive defense.
And then one last one for you, Blitzen Hutt. Would you kindly ask Peter to name three of his favorite linebackers of all time?
Woo! Oh, man. You know, when I was playing, I played with a guy that I thought was a heck of a player, Keith Bullock. Came out of Syracuse in the class of 2000, played with him when I was at the Titans. Was a phenomenal player, very durable playmaker, you know, really a guy that could make every play and play in every situation. He could play physical. He could play finesse. He had a lot of tools. You know, just growing up and watching pro football, you know, a guy that always stood out was Junior Seau. Just obviously he was a great player, but the intensity and the excitement he played with was truly remarkable. And I think still to this day, there's not many like him. And there hasn't been many since, just that has that energy you can feel watching him on the TV. And then right now, probably a guy I enjoy watching is the player of Carolina Panthers, the Luke Kuechly, the kid from Boston College.
Yeah.
He was really developed, I think, into, really got every tool that you could want to be an NFL linebacker.
Well, great stuff. So, Peter Sermon, he's the linebacker coach for USC, recruiting coordinator and associate head coach on defense. You can follow him on Twitter, at Coach Sermon USC. That's at Coach Sermon USC. Thanks so much for carving out some time here. I know you got a busy schedule heading in and getting ready for spring football, but thanks very much for joining the Peristyle Podcast.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Peter Sermon. Everyone else, thanks for tuning into the podcast. We will talk to you next week.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your iPod or MP3 player for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.